Now, this is Channel One Right on a new reel. This is the beginning of new reel, Channel One Right, and I'm setting it up for Ms. Guthrie. This Thursday morning, the 20th of August, 1970. Faye just called her. She had a hunch. She said, "Miss Mary, this is your morning. I've been thinking about what fine time we had last Thursday. I sure would love to learn how to make that peach pie, that pear pie. And she said several things, and no word from over there. Faye just walked out to the shed and reported on me the talk she'd had with Ms. Guthrie on the telephone just now, this Thursday morning, the 20th of August.
Blooms on them. And you know they raise fish bait?
How's that?
A certain time of the year, they get full of worms.
Oh?
It's just like a caterpillar taken to a blackjack tree. And they are really good fish bait.
Well, now, when do they have them? Now?
I really don't know. But at a certain time of the year, my brother had one in the front, his front yard, and they say that is the best fish bait. The people, he sold his. People are fishing the river.
Well, let me tell you, in a little while, let's go out there and open one of those things and see.
Okay.
See?
Okay. Is that an adding machine?
No, that's a...
Oh, I see.
Isn't that awful? People have to be so lazy. They can't get up and turn the television off. Well, now, you know, I never heard of that.
That's right. Certain time of the year, they'll just be... Have you ever seen caterpillars gather up on blackjacks?
Yeah.
Well, it's something like that. And that's what they use them for, fish bait. My brother's boys used to catch them and go to the river and just catch a red breast bream.
Oh.
They say they're the best kind. And they have the most beautifulest bloom.
Are they around here very often? Do you see them very often?
Not very much. Not very often.
The reason I ask is, Guy planted these, and he says they won't last very long.
Well, that's what my brother says.
But at least you can get them.
But I think they're so pretty. They have such beautiful leaves.
And those big, heavy blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
And clusters.
Mm-hmm. His was just beautiful.
Well, what in the world are you doing cleaning up the back porch for on a hot day?
Well, it just so dirty. I was washing the kitchen. The walls and
the
doors.
Why, Miss Mary, looked like you could eat off of the floor when I was over there.
It's so filthy.
Well, don't look at this kitchen.
Your kitchen's not dirty.
Oh, piffle. This old dark paper can't.
You know, my grandson, Curtis, the one that was there the other day, you know he isn't anything but a young one. And I hate to always tell him, son, go wash your hands. But he'll go out and he'll be working on a tractor or on a car or putting down the fence post or anything, get just as dirty as he can be and sweaty, and he'll come lean up against the wall and there. Just young and like, you know, and he don't think a thing in the world about going sitting down on the bed or on the sofa just as dirty and muddy. I'm going to steal your pantry.
Isn't that nice? Best thing about the pantry is you can throw things in there and close the door.
That's right. I haven't got anywhere to put anything.
What about that porch?
I need me a dish cupboard so bad. And I was looking at one. You know what they wanted? They a little tiny one, $189.
I know.
And I just can't afford no such furniture as that.
Can Marvin build you something?
He could build a, I've got too many boxes now. I need something like that up there.
You don't have any cabinets?
No, ma'am.
Well, golly, you have your pans down.
Mm-hmm. That's just to put my groceries in my pans. And everything gets in such a mess. I don't know how anymore. Do you have roaches?
We have to spray all the time, and then we have them, too.
Well, we do, too. I fight and fight and fight.
What do you use?
Well, we use spray of all kind, and we use these roach medicine. But that roach medicine don't do no good. And I see where there's been a rat in the back porch. I just fight all the time. And still, I got roaches. I get up at night and get my fly swatter. I got a great big old long piece of screen wire. You know, just a common fly flap wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And I get up at night and I go in there and I kill everyone that I can find. But I still, and then I can just miss a night or two. And go in there and turn the light on and them little bitty ones is just a crawling on the bathroom floor. They just...
I don't think those pellets do any good.
I don't either. You know they get immune to them?
They do.
They sure do. They must.
Well, wherever there's water, they're going to come up.
And dog feed and chicken feed and stuff like that just raises them.
And I think they fly in from the outside.
They do. You can go out in the field or in the woods and turn over an old log and you'll find them. They're raising cabbage palms.
Oh.
Just anywhere.
Well, I don't care for them.
I don't either, but I got them and I just can't.
I don't believe anybody in Florida doesn't have them.
I don't either.
Now, they may say they don't. We've got to put something out around the house on the outside sometimes.
Well, Marvin got some of that seven dust.
Oh.
And he dusted all under the house and all around the house and the chicken house. We did get rid of the fleas, but we sure didn't get rid of the roaches.
You have dogs?
I have two, one in the house and one outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to control the fleas.
Well, you want to fix your pie?
Well, just I got my pears out there. I want to know something. I want to know. Do you have any particular recipe for those biscuits?
No, ma'am.
I was sure you didn't. All good cooks just can make them without...
I just make them up and bake them.
Do you make them with buttermilk?
Sometimes I use buttermilk and sometimes I use sweet milk. It's just according to what you want. And most of the time, you know, I buy this dry powdered milk.
Oh.
And most of the time I bake my bread with that. Because it lasts me longer and it's easy to keep. And it goes farther.
Well, I thought I heard somebody drive by.
Good morning. Just morning. Got here in time for dinner.
She gonna have us make a pear pie. Isn't that marvelous?
Well, some people just have breakfast this time of day, you know.
Well, let me ask.
I haven't even had any.
Well, let me fix you a cup of coffee.
No, right? No, ma'am. I don't ever have anything for breakfast.
But y'all were talking about pear pies.
No, I was asking her about those beautiful biscuits.
We was talking about roaches.
Yes.
Roaches.
Yes.
She's talking about roaches first.
I'll take biscuits out for you.
We've been talking about roaches.
We don't care for them.
You know, them roaches as big as puppy dogs, some of them. You can't.
And stink bad as polecat when you bust them.
You can't afford to stomp them. They'll smell you out.
That's the truth.
Well, I fight them all the time. And I still got them.
Why, they're big enough to catch in cages.
I know it.
Yes. Set them just like you would
have. And ain't nothing in the world no nicer than one of them.
Why, they crawl over everything. You can't leave a biscuit out but what they don't find.
Well, heck, they eat anything. Marvin and I taken everything out of, moved the cupboards. And I cleaned behind my cupboards good and got me a kettle of water. Had it on the stove a-boiling. And I scalded everyone I seen and I cleaned all back of my cupboards good. And then he brought some stuff from the place out yonder and he sprayed. And we found dead roaches. But you can go in the house and turn on the light and there you'll see one on the wall. And I get up at night and go in there and turn on, I got a shotgun. And I have war, but it don't do no good. Them nasty things. My house is old and rotten, dilapidated, and I'll always have them. I've always had them, and I always will.
Always have?
Always have.
Well, I don't believe they've been sent out at all. I used to go out here. There was some stumps out here.
Mm-hmm.
They've all rotted out now and gone, but them stumps would be full of roaches.
I know it. And you know that old back porch, block porch that we had built?
Yeah.
Well, I got me an axe, and I went out there, and I told Marvin, I said, we'll never get rid of the roaches as long as we have it. And I knocked that sapsucker down, and honest to goodness, you wouldn't believe it. They was handfuls in them blocks. Them old blocks was damp, mm-hmm. And that cement. I hauled that mess away from there. I thought I'd do something to the house before now, but I just haven't been able.
You've got too much else to do.
That's right. And not no money to do with.
Whether money is the answer or not, there's so much ahead of these things that you want to do. I've been trying to get some of them hyacinths out down there where the fish hole, where we can fish. And I've been putting that off ever since I've been out here. Well, not ever since, because for the first year or two, you see, I tried spraying, get them for a while, but they'd come right back, just like the roaches. I don't know. There ought to be something.
You know, them hyacinths is real good cow feed.
Just pull them out on the bank?
No, just let the cows go down there and eat them.
Oh.
Well, I see your red bird.
Hi there, pretty.
Don't they look bedraggled this time of year?
Now, that's a hen, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
She's probably kind of under the weather.
She molted.
I tell you, if we can get...
The chickens molt this time of year?
Mm-hmm.
Is this that time, too?
No, I don't think. Mine's not molting.
Well, now, all these birds, that's...
They'll molt before, I imagine, about September, October. You know mine even molts in the wintertime.
Oh.
I've had them plumb naked.
Well, that's why these...
I'm going to get out of the chicken business.
Oh, I thought you were just getting back in.
I'm going to kill everyone I got and put them in the deep freeze.
Yeah.
Why, Miss Mary?
Mm-hmm. I had to kill my old rooster. My brother's folks come Sunday, and she wanted three of my hens. And I was going to let her have three of them. And Marvin went in there to catch the hens, and he said the old rooster had just cut the sides all to pieces, you know. His old spurs was about that long. I said, well, cut his old head off, and I'll clean him. I cut his old head off, and I'm going to cook him and give him to the dogs.
Yeah.
And so I ain't got no rooster, and I'm going to kill my pullets. And I'm going to do with that. I think that that yard has never been without chickens as long as I can remember. And then this spring, I'm going to fix me a good chicken yard and a chicken house and buy me some biddies.
Yeah.
And raise me some good chickens.
Can't you even buy the biddies cheaper than you can?
I never hatch no biddies.
You just have to have a proper place to keep them.
That's
you?
Right. I haven't got any place to keep them.
Well, what do you do? What if you let them run out during the day and then put them up at night?
No, I keep them shut up. Oh. You can't have nothing in the yard or in the field or around the house. Nowhere else where you got chickens running out.
Well, now, have you all have always had a few chickens?
Always had chickens on that yard as far as I could remember. They were there when I went there, and we had chickens. And Marvin said he thought that if it'd be best to get rid of them, you know, and just let it kind of clean off, you know. And then we'd build us a chicken yard and a chicken house, and this spring buy some more biddies and raise them.
Yeah. Well, now, you never just for your own use. You never raise them yourself.
No, sir.
Or eggs.
Oh, I sell a few eggs. I have so few eggs. You know, I get more than what I can use.
Yeah.
But then people around home, they'd rather go to town and buy eggs.
That's silly.
It is, but. And most time, they promise to pay you for them, and you don't ever get it.
It's your friends who come.
That's right.
Well, look, you don't want to, you know what, you know that old country. The way people had, whenever somebody comes in, they had to give them something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want to just keep the eggs to give to your friends when they come. I'll come over there every now and then.
Well, I'd give them to you just quick as one is running.
You all were talking about them biscuits. Now, you don't roll your biscuits.
No, sir.
And Faye does. And that's the reason she has such puny little biscuits.
Well, that's the reason why hers is small, is because she cuts them out small.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Just show. You ordered
that. I'll bake you some.
Will you really?
Yes, show you how to bake
them. That'd be fun.
And they'll turn out to be a flop, and then.
Yeah. Well,
that'll be. And what kind of flour do you use?
Well, I got some self-rising, and I've got some plain gold metal. Or
well, now that's what I use, is self-rising gold metal.
I think that's what this is over here.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bake some bread.
Let me tell you, I was sitting down there on the floor in the kitchen there by the little girl, and I just looked around, and I looked right in that oven. And them biscuits, while I was sitting there, they just swelled up. And turn the prettiest color with me sitting there. Great big, beautiful. Beautiful.
Everybody talks about my bread being so big, but what's the use?
Oh, they do. Nobody used to it anymore, is it? Are they?
What he has to put up with.
Yeah, they're not even big enough to burn.
To burn?
Butter.
Well, now you were saying that you use dry milk.
I use dry milk or cow milk or just any kind. It's just whatever you like.
But it makes more sense to use the powdered milk, the dry milk.
Well, it just lasts longer, and you don't have to refrigerate it.
But you put it in the water, you mix it.
Yes, ma'am.
Put it in water, make it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you do use dry milk.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Faye?
I know it.
When I go to town, I get me a box of dry milk, you know. Well, the directions is on it how to mix it.
Sure.
Well, I'll mix up a quart, you see, and that'll cook biscuits a week. And it's cheaper.
And you don't have to refrigerate
it? Oh, yeah, after you mix it up, you do. Uh-huh. But you know you can take that dry milk and make the prettiest clabber you ever saw.
Oh.
When I want clabber, well, I mix me up some dry milk and just leave it setting out.
I hadn't even seen clabber in 20 years. We used to live on it.
You don't like clabber?
We used to live on it. Yes, and whenever we got right hungry and everything and nothing else would please us, he'd look clabber.
You know what? I want some buttermilk. Lots of times I bake angel flake biscuits. And, I want some buttermilk to bake them with it, and I get me some of that powdered milk, and I mix it and let it clabber. Well, all you got to do is to beat it up and put a little bit of margarine in it. I melt me some margarine and pour in there. Well, you got just as good a buttermilk as you'd want to eat.
Is that right?
That's right. And I like buttermilk and hot biscuits.
I don't know, there's something about the taste of buttermilk that's just stimulating. It's good.
Well, you know, one time I had some trouble, and I went to Dr. Strange. And Dr. Strange said that I had kidney stones. And he put me in the bed and wouldn't let me get up and made me stay there till I was the doggone weak, till I couldn't get up, and I was not sick. And I told him I wasn't sick. But still, that's been years ago. And my cousin from Cross City come over there with my brother. And he said, if you've got kidney stones, he says, I'll tell you what to do and you won't never have them no more. He said, drink plenty of buttermilk. He said, that buttermilk would dissolve them. And he says, you won't never, never be troubled with them again if you drink plenty of buttermilk. And I did, and that's all I done. And I never did go back to Dr. Strange, and I ain't had no operation yet.
Isn't that something?
But now, whether that buttermilk done it or not, I don't know. But he told me to drink plenty of buttermilk, and I did.
You know, my recollection is that we didn't drink much sweet milk when I was growing up.
I never did. I can't stand to drink sweet milk. I don't like it. I like to cook with it, but I just can't drink it. I never did drink sweet milk.
Now, I forget, kind of, but I have heard people say that drinking sweet milk would make you bilious. You know that old
I've word? Always heard it'd make you wormy.
We didn't drink much sweet milk, but we had buttermilk all the time, and clabber whenever we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I wished I had me a good milk cow right now.
It's just better, isn't it?
It is. It's just better. I like to have my own milk and butter.
Yeah.
Well, we better get ready, get busy on your pears and on your biscuits.
Yeah, I would do that. Let me tell you, wait a minute now, let me see. I got to go out to that Nick's out there, and he's going to have another house. That, that tripe. I acted like I knew what tripe was. Now, the tripe's familiar to me, and I have eaten tripe, but I kind of forget about it. It's been so long. What is tripe?
Well, it hits the cow's inside stomach. They got two. There's one a tripe and one a book. In other words, when a cow don't chew up her food to swallow it.
Yeah.
A cow swallows her food and it goes into this book hole.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen them lying down, these knots coming in the throat and chewing the cud. They ain't chewing their cud, they're chewing the food. And that food comes up, and they chew it, and then it goes down and goes into the tripe.
Yes.
And that's the tripe.
Yes. Now, is the right smart if they got a big tripe stomach then?
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole lot of tripe on a cow.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Or do you get the whole tripe?
I get the whole tripe. Man, that's something good. People come in the house when I'm cooking and that sure does stink. But I don't think it stinks. It's just as white when I get through with it as this paper.
You just boil it.
I boil it till it's real good and tender. And then I take it and I put black pepper on it and I make me a little egg batter and dip it in that egg batter and fry it.
You'd already cooked it then.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's already ready. You just sort of getting it ready.
I cook it and cut it up and put it in a container and put it in the deep freeze.
Yeah.
And I just go get me some when I need it.
When I look, them folks is over there. Now, Miss Dee's, she knows how to cook.
In a way.
Well, she talked about them biscuits. She used to make big biscuits, you know.
She admitted they didn't look like yours.
Well, is she brought up in the country?
Yes, sir. Her daddy was a Baptist preacher. Have you always heard that a preacher had the meanest young'uns of anybody else?
Yeah.
And that's right. That is right.
Well, now what I'm getting at was any of them, you see, you cook, I brought up on your kind of cooking. Of course, they don't cook like that, but she didn't bring me up. They don't know how to cook like you was cooking.
Well, they don't know how to cook. In other words, Mr. Miles, they just don't want to know.
Oh.
She wouldn't get out and clean a beef tripe for nobody.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
There's some people you know that could do it if they would do it.
Yeah. Well, now, who was the little girl, the little... blonde girl, not Linda, the other one.
That was my brother's baby.
Yeah. Well, she was right nice. Will she, you reckon she'll learn some of
that? No, sir. She was...
Not
she likes it.
Oh, yeah, but she too busy with the boys and gotta get around going from place to place. She's smart, she's so, but she won't cook and do things like that.
Well, now, Linda got time. Is she going to learn to cook a little?
You mean Curtis's wife?
Yeah.
Out of a tin can. She buys her biscuits already made up, everything already to stick in the oven. Of course, she don't stay at home. She works, you know.
Oh,
she works up there at the medical center.
Well?
She keeps books of the coming in and going out of the patients.
Yeah.
And I don't know what all she does do, but anyway, she works at the medical center.
So, there's not much chance of her learning how to
not
cook.
Much.
You just buy it already cooked.
That's right.
But they'll come out there, they love to come out there and eat your cookies.
Mm-hmm. They love biscuits.
That's nice.
Well, it's too bad, young people.
Do you know what I cooked for dinner, Sonny? You never guess.
You had a pot of beans.
No, I didn't. Mm-mm. I had some peas already cooked, but that was swamp cabbage.
Oh.
And sausage.
In that pot?
In that pot.
Bad burn.
I don't know that I wasn't expecting anybody. I know Lyndon Curtis was coming. And I knew that they liked it. Curtis had been saying he wanted some cabbage. And we had peas and butter beans. And we didn't get to go down Saturday because after the funeral, the weather was so bad. And I told Marvin, I said, let's go get us a swamp cabbage and cook us some sausage, smoked sausage with it. He said, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And so we went and cut a cup of cabbage.
Yeah.
And that's what I had for dinner. I didn't know that my brother's folks, so when we got back to the house, they were there.
Oh.
Now, Miss Mary, you've got to tell me. Swamp cabbage...
is cabbage palmetto.
Yeah.
Cabbage palmetto. And you cut the how do you do it? Out of the top of the tree?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Before it gets too big?
Before it gets too big.
Yeah.
But if you cut a small cabbage, you don't cut it out of the tree. You cut it out of the ground.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these days,
yeah,
when you're going to do this,
yeah,
I want to be there and see, because you see... Yeah, I live in Florida, and I've heard about this, but I've never seen how you do it. I've never eaten swamp cabbage.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
Well, you might not like it.
I bet I would. I've eaten the raw.
Mm-hmm. And it makes a delicious salad.
Yeah.
I got a recipe for that. Oh, it takes so much. You put raisins and... pickles and wine and I don't know what all, and it is delicious. But I like them to cook them with sausage, or I like to just fry them.
Fry them.
Mm-hmm, just cut them up and fry them. You know, I like them. I really do. We hardly ever eat any, but once in a while we'll eat some.
Hey, you said she didn't roll her biscuits. How's she doing?
I'll have to show you.
Oh, I see. Let me tell you. I was in the front room there. When was that? Last Thursday? Yes, after Daisy came up here. And I heard Mary and Daisy laughing play up front. She must be a lot of fun.
She is.
Well, now you see, I don't see that side of her. She always called me Mister.
Mm-hmm.
I never even hear her laugh.
Daisy said she made one mistake, but she don't know any better. I see that Daisy is forgetful. She said that she knew when I was married, but she didn't. I knowed when Daisy came from Georgia here.
Yes.
Mr. Blackshear.
Yes.
Daisy don't know before I was married, but I didn't say a word because
she gets things.
She just forgets.
Oh.
Yeah.
She might have been thinking of my sister. Now I was married before my oldest sister was, but she said that she knew me before I was married, but Daisy didn't. I had been married. I don't know how many years, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that, before Daisy ever come here.
Hmm.
Oh.
She
gets
things. I know. She
Yeah, she Daisy, she gets kind of...
Well, you know, I asked her how old she was, and, you know, she passed it, and she said the census people told her she was so old, she don't count.
She won't what?
She can't count.
How old does she claim to be?
79.
I don't believe it. I don't believe Daisy's 79.
She's mighty, mighty healthy.
She could be, but now, you know, some darkies, you can't hardly tell their age.
That's right.
You was married in 25, you told me.
Mm-hmm.
She said she'd come here in 23.
She doesn't know. She couldn't have.
And she said that she knew you before you got married. That was, I was down there on the porch the other day. And after y'all was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew this woman that you lived with, this Miss Weeks.
She did.
As your aunt.
She did. She knew Aunt Nora.
Aunt Nora.
And she lived right there where Mr. Geiger's living. Aunt Nora.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm. She had two babies. No. One baby born there. In that house. And there was a little house just before you get to the corner of Mr. Geiger's field. Now, that's where Daisy lived.
Yeah, right there. Daisy grew.
But Daisy lived there before Aunt Nora did. And Daisy moved away. If I don't make no mistake, she come here with a fellow by the name of Blackshear.
She says she come here, he owned the place. She come down here with the man that done the work. His name was Clark.
Yeah, that's right.
She
Said that well,
Clark
I knew.
Brought her and Ben.
Now, Clark is the family that we was talking about, had such a big family and such a nice girl.
Mm-hmm. That knew Mac Weaver.
That's right.
But now, they moved on off before, and then Aunt Nora lived.
That's right, that's right. Well, I'd been married a long time, so I was married when Daisy come here. She just got her cart before a horse.
Well, she lived over there after Aunt Nora did. Is that right?
No, I believe that she lived there before Aunt Nora did.
But Aunt Nora lived over there after, then she moved on up towards Evanston.
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, how did you know Daisy?
Well, you see, it wasn't too far from my place over there to the Geiger place.
Yes.
And these Clarks. There was a whole bunch of them. They used to walk to my house.
Oh.
And I don't know, but used to. I always believed in showing young people a good time and taking up a lot of times with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give dances to my place.
Oh.
And I'd give maybe a little pound box supper, a pound party, or something, to get them all together to get the young folks together. And we had an old Model T car. And I'd gang them all up in that old Model T car, you know, and we'd go for a ride. And some nights we'd gang up and I'd take them to a garrison hammock. And I'd even put off my shoes and walk down there to Garrison Hammock and back with a crowd of them, you know, just out with them, just trying to show them a good time. And so that's